Please sit down. And if you would take the Bible on your seat and turn to page 1081, John chapter 10, verse 11. A simple service of five readings, hymns and songs. After each reading, there will be a moment's silence to pause and reflect on what we've had read to us from the Word of God. And then we will stand to sing as the musicians strike up. All of us knows the importance of leadership. I've been part of military educational establishments and observed leadership closely here in the city for over 15 years, and in every case the institution comes to reflect the one leading it. We all know the importance of leadership. A lack of leadership is not, as some people so naively believe, liberty. Lack of leadership does not lead to liberty. Lack of leadership leads to anarchy. Everybody follows somebody. You may know Wes and Rose Illingsworth. Rose is going to sing to us later. Wes and Rose have, I think, the coolest CD or record or whatever kind of collection it is in St. Helens, and I've admired it for many years. And an undisclosed number of years ago, on my 50th birthday, they put together a compilation album for me. Jim Reeves, Johnny Cash, Sun House, The Blind Boys of Alabama, Mescal Shakes, and of course Bob Dylan. You've got to serve somebody. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You may like to dance. You may be heavyweight champion of the world or a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're going to serve somebody. Everybody follows somebody. We all know the importance of leadership. Lack of leadership is not liberty, it's anarchy. John's Gospel, as you know, divides into two halves, and the first half comes to an end at the end of chapter 10, and the second half begins in chapter 11. And at the end of the first half of John's Gospel, Jesus lays claim to be the true leader of God's people. John 10, 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It's a claim both to divinity and to royalty. God's people are known as his sheep. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And God is the Good Shepherd. The Lord's my shepherd. And he gives leadership of his people to his royal king. Let them not be as sheep without a shepherd. King David and his successors are the royal rulers of God's people. But Jesus' claim is enhanced and made all the more provocative by the audience that is the establishment rulers of Israel, as Jesus says to them, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. Here then is a claim by Jesus to be the true leader of God's people. God has castigated the failed leadership, the weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed. God has promised that he himself will lead. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And I will make them lie down. And now Jesus, the end of the first half of John's Gospel, to all the gathered leadership of Israel who have just denounced one of Jesus' disciples, the man born blind, and cast him out, says, I am the Good Shepherd. I wonder if you can feel the force of his claim. We all know the importance of leadership. The absence of leadership is not liberty, it's anarchy. Everybody follows somebody. Who leads you? And is whoever it is that you follow worthy of your discipleship? Oh, says somebody, I just follow myself. Well, in your self-imposed anarchy, how qualified are you? Would you cast a vote for yourself? We love this 360-degree review, don't we, in the workplace these days. I mean, if a 360-degree review were to be done of your leadership of yourself, how would it fare? Are you qualified to lead your own soul? Well, Jesus' statement, I am the good shepherd, also contains his qualification. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And as he goes on to explain it in verses 11 to 18, we find that his death is voluntary, vicarious, that it is on behalf of his people, and victorious. Voluntary. He lays down his life for the sheep. And then again in verse 18, if you just look at verse 18, no one takes my life from me, I lay it down of my own accord. And we find that right the way through the Passion narrative in the first reading, when Shirley reads it to us, Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, whom do you seek? He offered himself. Jesus of Nazareth, I am he. It's a deliberate, willing, voluntary death as the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Not a tragedy, not a great disaster, not an accident of history, a deliberate, willing, voluntary, loving death. I can think of no other leader like him. The politician courts me for my vote, he would not die for me. The employer pays me for my labour, he would not give his life for me. The football team, celebrity, superstar that I may choose to follow does not even know I exist. Jesus is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for his sheep. It's a voluntary sacrifice. On its own, of course, that's not enough to qualify anybody for leadership. You know, I jump off the gherkin. I'm not going to, but you leap off the gherkin shouting, I love you, I die for you, and you say, you're an idiot. Rightly. So his death is not simply voluntary, it's also vicarious, which is a word worth knowing what it means if you don't know what it means. It means in the place of. In the place of. As a substitute. And again you see that in our verse, John chapter 10 verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, a technical word, hyper, a little Greek word, meaning on behalf of. The good shepherd lays down his life on behalf of the sheep. Which is then unpacked in the second half of the gospel, in the passion narrative, as Jesus goes to his death as a substitute vicariously on behalf of his sheep. And again, this is brought out for us in the first reading. Jesus says, put your sword away, Peter. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given to me? And the cup is the cup of God's judgment, God's just indignation, God's wrath at the sin of the whole world. So Jesus goes to his death to drink the cup of God's wrath at the sin of the whole world. Jesus goes to his death voluntarily, vicariously, as a substitute. And it was Caiaphas who had advised that the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for, hyper, on behalf of the whole nation. Later, of course, we find, as we listen to the reading, Pilate declaring the innocence of Jesus. I find no guilt in him. I find no guilt in him. I find no guilt in him. Behold the man. And so Jesus goes innocent, guiltless, divine, royal, willing, as a substitute to carry God's judgment at our sin. Here is one who can lead us, who loves us, who has stepped out to face the greatest enemy of humanity, death coming as a result of God's judgment on our human flaws and failures. And here is one who dies as a substitute in our place because he loves us to carry God's judgment at our sin. And it's written through the whole of the gospel. How was Jesus introduced? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What is the most famous verse in the whole of John's gospel? God so loved the world that he gave his only son. How do we see Jesus on the cross as he cries out, it is finished, it's paid, it's done. It's paid in full, accomplished. What is the manner of Jesus' death? Not one of his bones was broken. Like a true Passover lamb, he goes to his death to carry God's judgment at your sin and mine, at the sin of the world. Joining Sandhurst, every recruit, young officer, is given a copy of a little book, Serve to Lead. It's a profoundly Christian principle, isn't it? Serve to lead. With a foreword by Field Marshal Lord Slim. Here is the ultimate act of service. As Jesus goes to his death on behalf of the world to pay the price of sin. I'd never really grasped this until I think I must have been 1980. At a camp, this time of year, almost exactly this time of year, a chap called Hugh Balfour, who some of you may have come across, stood up and explained the cross. And for the first time, I understood, I already called myself a Christian, for the first time I really understood that Jesus died on the cross to carry God's judgment at my sin so that he was punished in my place, voluntarily, vicariously, so that all the judgment and anger of God that I deserved has been paid for completely by Jesus on the cross. What a relief! What love! The reason we find so many leaders so unpersuasive is that so frequently they prove to be self-serving frauds. The church leader who really is only in it for his own reputation, a self-serving fraud. The CEO only in it really for his own financial reward. The husband or father only in it to get out for himself. But in Jesus we find one who is truly qualified to lead us. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Voluntary, vicarious, victorious. Verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. Well, this is for Easter Sunday, and I hope we'll be gathering here again on Easter Sunday. But of course, the fact that Jesus rises victorious from the dead demonstrates that he has paid in full God's just judgment at human sin. So, Michael, you sitting down here in the front row, commits some heinous crime and is incarcerated rightly and justly in Brixton Prison for a decade, horror of horrors. And in 10 years' time, as we see the prison gates flung open, and Michael Yu walking out no longer in the prison suit with arrows down the front and all the rest of it, but now a free man, what do we say? Price paid. Justice done. Sentence satisfied. And as the stone rolls away from the tomb and Jesus emerges victorious from the grave with the sentence of death paid, finished, done, dusted, what do we say? Victorious, accomplished is the sacrifice. And so I guess it's very, very binary, isn't it? I spoke on this passage in the city a few weeks ago, and one of the businessmen who knows a lot about leadership came up to me afterwards and said, it's very binary, isn't it? It's either one thing or the other. There are only two ways to look at it. If the one you follow cannot deal with death, he is not qualified to lead you. If the one you follow has dealt with death, you are following the right leader. And there's only one who has dealt with death, Jesus Christ, through his voluntary, vicarious, victorious death. Well, let's meditate on and be refreshed by the Passion narrative once again. Shirley's going to come and read for us, and then the service will proceed unannounced.